Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour. I'm your host, Ralph Malbro. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Andrew, we taped the first two episodes of Season 2 of Drunk Saints History this Saturday. I was shit-faced. You were not.
I was drinking some Andy Gators.
It got lame,
dude.
It got weird.
Andy Gator is lame?
Drinking beer. Unless you were chugging them.
I mean, first of all, it's 8% beer. But secondly, I don't want to spoiler alert here, but Ralph may or may not have called Ditka Mitka.
It's the greatest mispronunciation I've ever
had. You can't even pronounce mispronunciation correctly.
I know. It's the greatest mispronunciation I've ever had. Like, and it's not even like.
Well, that seems more like a brain fart, though, not a mispronunciation. Maybe. I mean, obviously, you know Ditka's name is Ditka.
He said Mitka, dude.
No, I'm sure that's what
How
he
could
said,
you let him but... off the hook for this?
I pre-gamed four beers in 20 minutes before the show because I want to be authentic for the people and I don't fake the drunkenness, even if I have to power drink to get there before we start. So thanks everybody for donating. Those are going to go March. So we got March and then we did Pat Swillen. So thanks everybody for donating. You'll get those. So, you know, it's the off season and it's the dead period before free agency starts and there's no news unless people, you don't want Saints news this time of year. Unless Drew Brees signs, you don't want any Saints news on this show because it means a player gets arrested. Pretty much. Is that fair to say, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So we try to figure out like topics to do. So, Andrew, I saw this today, and it's just a rumor, but the Chiefs, because they traded Alex Smith and got a cornerback and in the trade, and they may sign another guy. The rumor is that they may look to trade Marcus Peters, who's got.
It's not a rumor. It was Pro Football Focus just speculating, just taking the idea to the next step. I wouldn't call it a rumor. I would just say it was one website that said, "Oh yeah, this could potentially mean this."
It's good enough for a fucking topic. That's what it's good enough for, Dave. So, but here's the thing: like, if he came available, Andrew, the Saints loved him in 2015. Not enough to pick him ahead of Pete, but they had a trade ready to work out, and they were going to pick him at they were going to move up from 32 and get him with the Chiefs. But the Chiefs were like, "Nah, we'll just take him ourselves." And you know, last offseason the Saints were fucking desperate for corner, but now it's like they went all in with character guys. Like if Marcus Peters came available with the Saints. Like with the old flame rekindle, and they'd be like, "Man, we could pair him with Lattimore. That'd be fucking awesome."
Well, I did not want him in that draft year. I mean, I remember we debated this, and you know, my thing is always, you know, I'm always kind of risk adverse, in general, actually, but in life. But I would say that, you know, with football, you know, I just felt like Marcus Peters, it was too big of a risk, and then obviously he comes in as a rookie and blows the doors off the league. You know, I mean, he was just incredible. I mean, I would say his rookie year was more incredible than Lattimore's. And you know, he's lived up to the billing. So he's an incredible player. You know, at the same time, the Chiefs don't want to pay him. If they're trading him right now, when his value is as high as it's ever going to be, maybe, that tells me they don't want to pay him.
And he's difficult on a winning team. Like Andy Reid, nobody's ever been like Andy Reid. He's a hard ass. He's really tough to play for. He doesn't get along with players, you know, like,
yeah,
but here's,
well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, I think that this whole thing that happened with him last season, which was He got upset in a game. He was like trying to get ejected from the game. He didn't get ejected from the game.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. He
wound up coming back on the sideline.
That's the kind of guy.
Well, but my point is that Ralph was saying, well, he was on a winning team. Well, I think this was after, I think this was when the Chiefs started sliding and they were in a 5 or 6 game losing streak. So I think that's where some of the frustration
was. They were still in
the
playoff mix at that point. I mean,
well, because they were in a shitty division, but you know, they went from beating the Patriots opening night and looking dominant and spectacular, and all of a sudden they were losing 6 games. So I mean,
I just don't want to assume that Lattimore and Crawley and PJ Williams have maturity-wise that they've arrived, you know. And I don't want to assume that those guys can't be influenced by someone who sometimes plays so out of his mind that he gets a lot of credit in the locker room and a lot of media hype and a lot of fan love. And then the minute things start to go awry, or, you know, that he can influence the locker room in a negative way. And I just think Marcus Peters is one of those guys. So, you know, you weigh like the on the field, is it an upgrade for the Saints? I mean, my God, unquestionably, if they were able to land a player like that.
But you can't pay him, and you won't be able to pay him and Lattimore.
I just think they have too many contracts. They have too many contracts coming up. With you look at how many good young players are on this team with Lattimore and Mike Thomas. And I mean, you can't pay them all, you know? And I mean, Kamara, Mike Thomas, Lattimore, I mean, those are potentially – several years down the road, major, major contracts. We don't really know what's going to happen with Drew Brees, but at some point you're going to have to go get a quarterback. And, you know, do you pay market value $25 million a year for a new guy? So, you know, the Saints are going to have to weigh a lot of things financially. And that guy makes me nervous.
Yeah, the thing is with him, and this, I don't even know if you describe
it. I mean, the Chiefs getting rid of him says it all. Honestly.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, and it's I don't even know if you describe it as a warning light, because I think it's like whatever's worse than a warning light, this would be it. He leads the fucking NFL in interceptions since 2015, and if Kansas City's like, we want to get rid of him, I mean, Dave, you can't have a bigger red flag than that.
Well, I smell Jairus Byrd. It's of Jairus Byrd.
The other thing,
I mean, Jairus Byrd had the most interceptions of safety in the league at the time, and the Bills were, you know, they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, you know, there's similar, you know, I see some similarities here. I mean, my thing is I think I have a new philosophy on the offseason for the Saints, and that is, don't go for the big splash. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't go for the one big name guy.
But will they do that? I know that's a great plan.
I think they've learned their lesson. I don't know. I'm being naive, but I mean, you look at this team that they have now that they just had a great season with. You guys, you know, you drafted great. You built great through the draft. 2 pretty decent years drafting.
Forget that amidst all that, though, amidst all that stuff you're talking about, Dave, are two moves in Nick Fairley and Kobe Fleener that they've made recently that you despised. You despised both of those, and they're both blowing up in their face. Now, we're not talking about it as much, and it's not that big of a deal because they won last year, but I'm just saying.
But that furthers my point that they should stop doing that.
Did they learn?
Yeah,
but will they?
Yeah, and here's, no, I don't know.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Those aren't even like Nick Fairley and Fleener for all the they and Dave was right on those moves. They shouldn't have done them. But here's the thing. Like, those weren't like ridiculous overpays and all that. It wasn't like when they signed Fleener, they reset the tight end market. When they signed Jairus Byrd, they reset the fucking safety market at the top, you know? And here's the thing. Like, last year, Andrew, I remind you, day one in free agency, what were we texting about, like, schoolgirls giddy over? It was the Kevin Zeitler, the number one guard. Who were the two teams left to decide? It was the Saints and it was Cleveland. Cleveland signed Zeitler. 20 minutes later, the Saints got Warford for half the price. But it doesn't mean that they wouldn't have done it and gave Zeitler like $11 or $12 million if he'd have taken it. And they tried to get Josh Norman last year. They had Peyton calling him on the phone, trying to have him not sign with the Redskins. They had the Breeze had agreed to redo his deal so they could bring Josh Norman in. And let's not forget Malcolm Butler, system coordinator. We're going to give him $50 million. So I don't know. Like, Dave, I agree with you. This is, they shouldn't go all in and get, like, one big guy to, like, say he's going to solve all the problems. But I don't
they
know.
Just can't help themselves.
That's it. Like, it didn't happen.
Like a fat kid at a buffet.
Yeah, they're the fat kid that went to the buffet, and the buffet was, like, we're closed. So he had a salad. But it doesn't mean that he really didn't want the buffet.
It's like the smoker with emphysema who's still sucking down two packs a day.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, that's my thing. I argue with people, like, they haven't changed much. So, but here's the thing. I mean, but here, Andrew, it is a valid point. But do you think they look back at the last two off seasons and go, maybe we got lucky, we didn't make these big moves. Maybe we just need to be slow and steady and not go big. Do you think is there a chance that they have thought that?
Well, so first of all, I think the mentality is we're going to be aggressive, you know? And so I think if they believe that a move is going to be a difference, then they will do it. You know, it's just a question of how much they believe in it. I mean, in Sean Payton, I mean, if you study him, if you've read his book, if you watch him on the sidelines, like, if he feels good about something, he's doubling down on it. That's his personality. That's Loomis's personality. And that's just what they're going to do. Now, I think, if anything, the success they've had with Jeff Ireland the last 2 years makes them even more confident in their ability to evaluate talent, especially draft picks. So
they're trading.
Moving
up
in the draft is more on the table. I think they're more confident in their ability to draft a guy and know that he's going to be awesome. Look, the contributions they got from Lattimore and Kamara in year one, like, think about how they got Jordan in the same year. And those were two phenomenal first round draft picks. But for both of those guys, it took them a while to get really good in the league. Like, Cam Jordan wasn't great in year one, and Mark Ingram was kind of in it for like 3 years. So it took them time to get used to the league. So, like, what Kamara and Lattimore were able to do in year one, I mean, they're way ahead of Ingram and Jordan were to start their career. So I just think Ireland and Loomis, I mean, their egos, their confidence in themselves is off the charts right now. And I don't think there's any way you could say, oh, they're going to be smarter now, things have changed. I think, you know, the NFL is a what have you done for me lately business, and right now lately is feeling pretty good for the Saints.
Yeah.
And you're right or wrong, you know, like, it may be a good thing and it could blow up in their face, but they're going to be aggressive.
Dave,
my problem, I don't disagree with anything that Andrew said, but it's frustrating to sit back and watch this, especially if they continue to be aggressive. I mean, this isn't the NBA. This is the NFL. Injuries happen. You spend all this money on one player, and it all goes to shit in 5 seconds if he's injured. You know, this isn't the NBA where you make one big signing, and that's 20% of your starting lineup.
I don't think they're going to blow it all on one guy, though. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a Jarris Bird offseason, because if you look at this last offseason, Dave, and I agree with you. And I think one thing that they realized by adding Manti Te'o and adding who is that other
Klein
linebacker they got? Yeah. I mean, well, Klein was a starter, but, like, drafting Anzalone, and I mean, they knew that. I think Manti Te'o is a perfect example, and Larrivius, of guys that they picked up that weren't huge signings, but, like, at some points in the season, they were like, holy shit, we need guys like that. And they played pretty well. It's like when you feel like the house is burning down because you've had all these injuries, and these guys come in and they know what they're doing, they can actually hold the fort down. And so I think that was a great lesson for the Saints that, you know, and Sean Payton says this, you're only as good as your sixth corner and your third running back or whatever. And so I think they'll try to go for a couple home runs, and they did that with Warford this past year, and they did it with Fairley, and it blew up
in
their face.
Warford wasn't like
maybe a couple big contracts. Yeah, I mean, Warford wasn't a break the bank, but they were, you know, trying to break the bank for Zietler. And, you know, then Warford, they offered maybe $1 million a year less. But I think they'll go for one or two guys, and then the rest will just fill out the roster. But I think you look at Ted Ginn, that was a great addition. I thought he really helped the team this year. And so, you know, if you can get three or four Ted Ginns instead of one Jarris Bird, that's what they should do. I mean, I think we agree on that.
And you know what? And you know what team does that very well? The New England Patriots. I hate to keep beating this drum, but the New England Patriots, whether you love them or hate them or like them, you can't deny that their formula is absolutely 100% the winning formula. And everything, I don't understand why all 31 other teams aren't trying to duplicate every single thing that the Patriots do. It makes no sense to me. They have set the standard. All you need to do is just be more like them. Be more like Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
Tom Brady doesn't fall.
Well, I mean, Bill
but if you're the New Orleans Saints, you have Drew Brees, who's just as good, if not better.
Yeah,
but the thing that sets Bill Belichick apart is he's really good at identifying talent, and that's what turns the Saints around. Like Jeff Ireland has sort of righted the ship, basically, in the last 2 years. This draft was a grand slam home run, but 2016 was like a two-run homer, you could say, three-run homer. Here's the thing, Andrew, that I was thinking about while y'all were talking about the Saints having the ultimate confidence. Here's the thing. Like, if the Saints in the draft say, we need a linebacker, right? And we want Jeff Ireland says, Roquan Smith or whatever linebacker you like, Edmonds, whoever, they have the linebacker class this year in the draft is phenomenal, supposedly. But if Jeff Ireland says, this player is a fucking game-changing linebacker, and he is a once in every 5 years player. Jeff Ireland has hit on like a dozen straight draft picks. Do you think the Saints are gonna be like, "Nah, we'll just wait it out, Jeff. We can get another guy." Like they're gonna be like, "Okay, Jeff Ireland, the dude who is responsible for our fucking awesome draft, is telling us to go get this player." I think
we're doing it.
Yeah, they're doing it, and I just think. I think they're more likely to be aggressive. The thing that's going to be interesting to me, Dave, in free agency is the level of teeth gnashing and panic as we get to it's March 14th, right, Andrew, is the date?
Mm-hmm.
For free agency
starts.
Yeah, I think
that's right. Yep.
So, Dave, on a scale of like no panic to total outright pandemonium, panic, Drew Brees might leave, oh my God, this is really happening. What do you think the panic's going to be like a week before free agency if Drew hasn't signed?
Panic by who? Fans?
Fans, everyone. Yeah.
The media? Yeah. There'll be lots of it. There'll be lots of that. Is it going to be necessary? No. Absolutely not necessary. How many Drew Brees contracts have we been through now? Two? Since he first signed?
Three? The first one, the 2012, and then last year the extension, right? Three.
So we've been through two off seasons already so far, where Drew Brees hasn't had a contract, and it's gone beyond the deadline. The first time, I think, right? Didn't it?
Yeah.
And yet here he is. He's still here. So, you know, you guys can panic all you want, but you're wasting your goddamn time.
Andrew,
What's the question?
How panicked will people be as we get closer to the start of free agency if Drew Brees doesn't sign? I think panic will be at like a DEFCON 1 or whatever.
I really think the stuff that Brees said, I think short of Brees coming out and saying something publicly that puts pressure on the Saints and lets us know that, oh shit, maybe things aren't what I thought they were. I think by now we've got to take Loomis and Brees at their word. You know, like they have always gotten this done. It's taken time. It's a lot of times they've done this at the 11th hour, but like, and I remember Pat panicking about this in years past, but I think we've all been there. And like, I also think some Saints fans are like, look, if it Breeze is 39, like if it's time to move on, like, yeah, I'll be sad. But like, I think there's a realization from Saints fans that this time is coming, and it might be, it's probably not this offseason, but it might be the next year or the year after that. But like, he's not going to play forever. And so I just think at this point, it would suck to move on from Breeze, but like, I think Saints fans know that it's coming. And, but I feel a lot less stressed, and I think all Saints fans do. But part of it's what Breeze said publicly. He's never done that before. He's never come out, you know, like when he's been in a contract year, he's never said, let's be honest, I'm coming back. He just hasn't done that.
Yeah.
So I just, to me, that means a lot. But secondary from that, like, where is he going to go, man? Like, is he really going to go to a new city, move his family at this point in his career, like learn a new playbook, you know, play under a different coach, get new teammates, have to do chemistry all over again, spend a whole offseason in practices to try to get on the same page with a new set of receivers and a new offense? I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, the Pro Football, Dave, they did the same thing about Marcus that they did with Marcus Peters today. They just throw it out there. They threw it out that, you know, Cleveland is a possibility. And I can think of a scenario where Drew Brees does not play for the Saints next year. It's far fetched, but I can do a scenario. There is no fucking scenario on this earth that Drew Brees is the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Because once Brees would say, like, say it's the day before and his contract's not done, and it comes out, hey, Brees is pissed off or whatever, and he says, look, it's not working out with the Saints, I may have to look elsewhere. Like, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Denver, whoever the fuck is going to come to the door and be like, Drew, what do you want? And Cleveland, whatever they can offer him, like, Jacksonville can offer just as much, you know? So that'll happen. But
if there was a team in San Diego that didn't have Phillip Rivers as their quarterback, I'd be worried. That would be kind of an easy move, I think, for him. He's already got a house out there, and his kids go to school out there part time. But
yeah.
No, I mean, the Browns, I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, if Drew Brees goes somewhere, I think it's to win a championship. I think he's smart enough to know he's not going to win a championship in Cleveland. So if he's going to lose, he might as well lose here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And just to play devil's advocate on what, you know, what Andrew said as far as, you know, Breeze this year having said, you know, I'm staying here in New Orleans, I want to stay here in New Orleans, I want to retire as a Saint. You know, Andrew's right. He's never said that kind of stuff publicly in any of previous contract negotiations, but you know, if you wanted to play devil's advocate, that could be him. That actually could be him putting pressure on the Saints, you know, showing the public, hey, I want to stay here.
Yeah, maybe.
So if I don't stay here, it's going to be because it's all on them. Don't sign me, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing is, I would be shitting my pants if the team was 7-9 again. You know, like, you could tell last year, like, he was just, they're winning, you know? So I just feel like the whole vibe of, like, Sean Payton and Breeze, I mean, you could just tell, like, they're excited about the direction of the team. They're excited about having another opportunity to compete for it. So I just think, I mean, just reading body language and interviews, like, the vibe feels great.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm less worried, you know?
Yeah, he was it wasn't the Rockets game, but he was at a Pelicans game and they interviewed him, and he was just like euphorically happy. And it was post Minnesota, you know? It's not gonna happen, but I do think the panic will get ratcheted up the weekend before free agency if it's not done, even if it's not warranted. Like, the rumors will fly, because rumors generate, let's be real, rumors generate clicks, and all it takes is Adam Schefter to tweet out something or some agent to leak something, and we'll be at fucking panic levels you never dreamed of, Andrew. I'm just telling you. It'll be hard to stay calm. That's my prediction. Before we get to actually, we got some really good Twitter questions, so I'm just going to get to those right now. This is from Hunter, Andrew, would Brian Cushing make the linebackers better even with just his influence? He said, it said he's smart and inspirational.
You know,
he does a lot of HGH.
He does. I think right now the Saints have a lot of wily veterans and good leadership with Klein and Teo and Robertson. I just think if they're going to – and even Nate Stupar I'd throw in the mix there. So if they're going to add linebackers, give me young athletic guys. I think that we filled the quota for, you know, kind of veterans that are good leaders, that are, you know, influential or whatever. I think if there's something missing at that position for the Saints, it's an athletic player. So, I mean, it's too bad things didn't work out with Stephon Anthony, but that's the makeup of a player I would want at that position, young and, you know, a guy you can develop but has the physical tools.
Yeah, and Dave, this is a really good question. I think we're all going to answer this one, but I'll start with you. This is from Brian. What's the one Saints move that – this one Saints move the Saints could make that you dread?
Wow, we kind of just talked about it.
But I mean, do you have like a specific? Do you have like a specific position or player in mind that you would be like, fuck? Because I can think of one that would scare me to death.
I mean. I don't have a specific player. I'm trying to think of a specific position. I don't know. Who do you got, Val?
My thing that would scare me to fucking death is Ezekiel Ansah.
Why?
Ansah from Detroit. Because the dude had 2 sacks in 2016. He had 12 sacks in 2017. He had 3 sack games against really shitty teams, and he's got a bad back, and the last dude that the Saints gave a record deal to that had a bad back didn't work out well, so he would scare me to death if the Saints gave him like 5 years, $70 million. Like, that would scare me to death. Andrew, do you have a move that would scare you to death?
I mean, I don't know if it's an individual player as much as just kind of like the Jarris Bird deal.
Yeah.
You know, just like making a huge investment. You know, Peters would scare me to death. I mean, you know, another thing about the Chiefs is when you look at, you know, their defense is aging. I mean, you look at Eric Berry. I mean, who knows how he's going to come back. And, you know, they used to have some stars like Derek Johnson and Tambaha Ali and Justin Houston, and those guys just aren't with it. You know, those guys are all kind of done. So, like, that's what shocks me, that they don't want to keep Peters, because they have all these guys. Like, the Chiefs used to be the vaunted defense that was just incredible. And kind of all those stars, those 4 or 5 guys I just mentioned, are all kind of on the way out or coming back from major injuries and so, or just old. And so the fact that they don't want to keep Peters is kind of shocking. I mean, it almost feels like the Chiefs are blowing it up, especially having shipped out Alex Smith.
Yeah. This is another great question from Joe. You can only, and this is another rumor if Seattle blows up their team. This is his question. You can only have one. Trade for Bobby Wagner or sign # system corner.
Ooh, this is tough.
I'll go
That's
first.
That's a good question.
It is. It's a great question. I'll go first because I'm the president and chairman of Sign the System Corner.
Well, what am I like, the treasurer and vice president?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this.
Secretary.
We talked about this on the when we were before we started. I'm gonna say, my heart would want Malcolm Butler, and I would. And I want the T-shirt, and I want all the fun, and it'll just be like people will just be like congratulating me on the day they do it, because I've wanted it so bad. Like, my Twitter mentions will just be crazy, like I just like got a job promotion or something. So I really really want it. But like Bobby Wagner at linebacker, he's older, but dude, Dave, he would be fucking awesome. If you could get him for like a third or fourth round pick, I think I have to go Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, we have 2 third-round picks this year.
Do it 2/3 or do, no?
No, I think we have 2/3. I don't think we have a second.
We don't have a second.
No, we have 2/4, right?
And 2/5, because we got the 5th for Anthony.
Pearson.
Look it up. Is somebody looking that up?
Nah.
I don't think we have 2/3, Dave.
So
where would we have gotten that third from?
I don't know. Look it up.
It's a fit. You're Dave. It's they have.
Two, wait. We trade. Never mind.
We have 2/5. They have 2/5 and 2/6.
Yeah. No.
Where did they get the 2nd/6th? Or
Pearson.
Wait, where did they get the 2nd/5th from?
Anthony.
Oh right. Stephon Anthony.
Yeah. Val, you have the shit memorized? How do you fucking people remember this shit? What the fuck is wrong with you people? Jesus Christ! Do you remember your son's name?
Marty.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, if you remember this random stupid shit, there has to be shit, important shit that you don't remember.
Figure out what it is. My brain is a bowl, and you can only fill it with so much. And it overflows, and then, like, knowledge falls out. Ridiculous. I mean, Seattle might blow it up. I mean, Andrew Wagner would transform the shit, right? In line.
Yeah, so I think you gave a great answer. I want Malcolm Butler selfishly just for like the fun on Twitter and the ridiculousness of it. And I mean, I do think it would be a upgrade on the field, but also just, you know, we've gone so far with this, you know, and getting the t-shirt system corner. I mean, selfish, just want to have a lot of fun with that, but on the field, I think Bobby Wagner is more transformative to this team. Just having him on the field, it could make this defense even better, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I would really – so if we can just make the offense a tick more explosive, maybe add, you know, either a tight end or a receiver – hopefully get more healthy on the offensive line, and then just maybe add one guy on defense that's just like a Wagner. I really almost feel like that's all it would take for this team to be off the charts good.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a deal. They did a big deal with Seattle, Dave. I'm just saying.
They did.
The Jimmy Graham, that was a holy shit moment, by the way. I don't think
nobody. Maybe they could package Wagner and Graham together.
No, Graham's a free agent, though.
Oh, even better. We'll just sign him ourselves.
Sign, trade for Wagner, sign Graham, send Benson One out to Seattle. Let me see what other questions we have. This is a question that I asked people on Twitter, and some people have said they're hiking in Oregon, they're learning to fish. Dave and Andrew, I'll start with you. How do you fill the time of this is the most dead NFL time, right? Between now and when free agency starts, how do you fill the time in your life with just no NFL news to discuss?
I talk to my wife.
My wife. Yeah, I kind of
get reacquainted with your kids.
Yeah, reintroduce myself to my kids. Hello, children. I am your father. I know I've been watching a lot of football in the basement, but I am real. I do exist. I am here. I gotta say the weight is a lot easier for me when I'm not blogging every day. I think I think I said this last week or on a different show, but when I'm blogging every day in the off season, the grind of just coming up with topics, I just feel like it's much harder to get through the off season. Now, I mean, I'm kind of enjoying the break, you know, just cause I'll watch the Pels, you know, I guess the Pels are kind of like my sports outlet, but you know, there's plenty going on in my life personally with kids and they play sports. Like my Cullen's 7 now. So he was on Saturdays right now, he's doing indoor soccer and basketball. So, you know, it's like, I'm basically an Uber driver for my kids taking the, you know, my daughter has gymnastics. So it's just like, a chauffeur, you know, just shuffling from one event to the next. But I don't know. That stuff's fun. I love it, you know. So it's
Dave,
I don't know if I'm thinking that much about football other than the podcast, honestly.
Dave, how do you get through this dead period?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be boring, but I'm with Andrew on this one. I got two kids too, and they keep me pretty damn busy. I'm, you know, lunch duty coordinator for my son's school, and now I'm on the golf tournament committee for my son's school.
Nice.
And you know, tomorrow I'm co-hosting dinner for 12 Tulanians as an involved alumnus.
Wow.
Dave, what is it like in New Orleans, Dave? Have you guys been like ravaged by sickness in the last month?
No, nobody got, we were all good.
Jesus.
And one of my buddy's kids has had a fever from the flu for like 11 days.
Oh my
God. We have had in a 2 week period.
I mean, my kids got the flu shot. Not that that guarantees that you don't get it.
Yeah, no, we've all got flu shots.
We got my kids got kind of regular sick, but really not too bad, and certainly not the flu.
In the last 2 weeks, we've all had colds, you know, like the runny nose and that stuff. There's been like the 12-hour straight puking stomach bug.
Oh my God.
And both of my kids got that. And now my wife has the flu. My wife.
Get the Tamiflu and a blanket.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk to her into that, but she's not having it. Tamiflu has some intense side effects.
But does it work?
The jury's out on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
My thing is this is like starts like the peak wedding season in Houston. So my wife is she's doing weddings. She's doing a destination wedding in Vegas this weekend. She's got another one coming up. So I'm on like full-time daddy duty by myself with this kid, so that sucks all my time up.
I'm still waiting for your wife to send me some business, man.
What? Yeah, the thing is though, man, you work in them the high end bands, Andrew, of like the, you know, we do like
she's doing a destination wedding in Vegas, aka this couple is eloping.
Yeah.
Getting married in a chapel. Right, right.
Well, that's true. I mean, the thing is, she does a lot. Like, do you have mariachi bands that you book, Andrew?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, there you go. there you go.
It's a different demographic.
It's a different
demographic in Houston is different than
it's
that,
different
so.
Demographic, maybe. So that's the thing, man. The thing is, it feels so far away, but like March 14th isn't that like what's the date today? The 19th. So it's
19th,
only
yep.
So it's only what 3 weeks.
Yeah, we can do this, guys.
We could plow through it. I mean, the one thing you don't want is an arrest. You know, you don't want a Joe Morgan situation of a dude drunk in a car, passed out. You know. But that pretty much does it.
Somebody lock Kamara in a basement.
you worry about Kamara, don't you?
I do. I want him locked in a basement with only basic needs and a gym. You can work out, you can eat, and that's it. No sunlight for you. We'll let you out at OTAs.
Go poop in the corner.
We let him out. You can have Netflix. You know,
he can have Netflix. And Dave, I'm not a savage. He doesn't have to go in the corner. We'll give him a Turkish hole. You know, I mean, we gotta be humane here.
Gotta have a little compassion, right?
Some decency. I mean, yeah, give him.
What about Airheads?
Like two a week. You know,
he kind of ration. He has to ration it.
Yeah, that's a good way to end the podcast. So like I said, we'll have Drunk History episode 1 and 2 March and April ready to go. And we got other people. We got guesters. I don't have confirmation, but I got two people that I'm super excited about that are going to do I think 4 episodes for us. I can't. It's not the ink and stuff and the paperwork isn't dry, so I can't announce it. But it's really close. going to be.
Oh, well, tell us after the show.
It's
going to
be.
Yeah,
it's going to be all. It's going to be awesome. So,
Hashtag Mitka.
For Dave, for
Hashtag
Andrew.
Hashtag System Corner.
Until next week.
Malcolm Butner will be joining us next week.
Butner.
The bar's closed. You're an asshole, Dave.